And I think there's opportunities everywhere. It's just what you make of it. And so really, you know, these days I'm really focused in on how do I do more with less? How do I focus on the highest impact whilst still maintaining this long-term game?
Welcome to the Redefining Sales Podcast. If we've not met before, my name's Abby White and I'm the CEO and founder of Sales Redefined. In the Redefining Sales Podcast, we do exactly what it says on the tin. We redefine sales and what it takes to play a high-performance sales game in the digital age. We get on thought leaders, experts, high-performance sales individuals to share and unpack what have been the keys to their success. And today is no different. Today we have the incredible Winston Wong. Winston is someone who I have absolutely looked up to in the Australian IT industry and has had a very, very successful career. He's also a personal friend of mine, so you'll hear a little bit of friendly banter along the way. Winston started out his career in sales for HP and then has gone on to work for the likes of Avnet, VMware, and now HashiCorp. Winston is now the partner sales manager for ANZ at HashiCorp. If you've not come across them before, HashiCorp offers a unique set of cloud provisioning tools that allow customers to automate workflows between multiple clouds. And it's really, really exciting to hear how Winston has changed from some of the behemoth corporates he's worked for to more of a hyper growth, more early stage business and some of that transition as well. One thing that's really interesting for me and why I asked Winston to be on the podcast today is we've had a lot of the same clients in the industry. And whenever I've worked with some of his clients, they've always said to me, I want to do that because I want to do that for Winston. And it's more about him personally than the business. His reputation in the industry is absolutely faultless and solid. And again, I've heard nothing but great things. So I really, really want to unpack as to someone that I've just heard spoken of and thought of so highly and has always been a consistent overachiever and high performer in sales. I really want to unpack some of the magic about how he does that and what are some of his go-to sales strategies and tactics. So you'll be hearing all about that in the episode. You'll also be hearing about some of Winston's advice for those who might be new or growing their career in sales, as he often does some mentoring for individuals too. So finally, before we get stuck into that, if you have not subscribed to Redefining Sales Podcast, what are you doing? Make sure that you subscribe now so that you never miss an episode, and feel free to share it with your friends, colleagues, and anyone else who you think might enjoy our conversation. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Winston Wong. Welcome to the Redefining Sales Podcast, Mr. Winston Wong. Thank you for joining us.
No problem. Great to be here and thanks for the opportunity.
So I am super, super, super excited. Winston is absolutely one of my favorites in the IT industry. We're not allowed to have favorites, but I do. And I want to unpack some of the magic that Winston brings to the sales profession, because I've observed and watched him in action and definitely been inspired. So I want to unpack some of that in the conversation today. Now, before we get there, I want to start out with just a little bit of a backstory, because I'm always curious as to how people landed in sales. Most of us at school didn't say, hey, when I grow up, I want to be in sales. So can you fill in the gap for us? How did you find yourself in sales?
Well, to your point, I didn't think I was going to land in sales either, early days. But it's quite an interesting journey, but also a very boring one. And I say that because I just landed where I am just because I just followed, the opportunities ahead of me. A little bit of a backstory. So I graduated from the University of Tasmania, grew up in Tasman. My parents, typical Chinese parents had a restaurant, and we were part of the sort of the local community. And after school, we'd sort of go back to the restaurant and be part of the restaurant as a family business. So graduated University of Tasmania. Moved to Sydney basically the Monday after my last exam. I was so keen to get out and into the workforce. Met up with a couple of recruiters and they said, hey, you got a Bachelor of Computer Science and Commerce as a double degree. What do you want to do and where do you want to work? And so I sort of thought about some of the brands that I'd like to work for, and HP, Cisco, Dell, IBM was sort of the brand that sort of came to mind. So I was sort of thrown at the recruiter. And one day he just called me and said, "Hey, Winston, got a great opportunity. It's nothing too exciting, but it's a foot in the door with one of the companies that you mentioned." And I was over the moon. So rocked up in a suit and tie and went to reception and realized that I was in the mailroom for about 4 weeks on contract with HP. And so that was fun. That's where it all sort of started. And as I did, you know, got to know people around the HP office, delivering their mail and a lot of their parcels. Got to know some folks who then ended up getting me a job in HP Financial Services as a customer services officer. So nothing salesy yet. And then somehow landed in the asset recovery business, which is a part of HP Financial Services, dealing with all of the laptops and monitors and PCs and even server equipment that were coming off lease. And so I found myself dealing and selling secondhand, basically end of lease assets to brokers and dealers across Asia Pacific. And through that process and just, I guess working through the HP office, I found myself in a lift with a greater HP business and ran into a sales manager there recruiting for a sales cadet for their commercial sales business. And that's where it kind of started.
Yeah. See, I love that. I only found out that story about 2 weeks ago, even though I've known you years. And what I love is I think it screams one of the things I love most about you in terms of the sales profession is many people could have just got that. Many people would have said no to that role in the mail room. And I think it shows, the hustle, the graft that, you've got, whatever the right term is there. And second, your ability to leverage relationships, not just deliver the mail, but start a conversation, build a connection, build a relationship, make an impression that then you could go on to open those doors. And I actually want to unpack some of that later, because as an outsider, I think that's one of your superpowers. And I think that shows in that story.
Thank you. It's probably the nicest things that you've said about me. But
I don't give compliments easily, Winston, with you, because I've got to make you work for it.
Thinking back, if I knew it was in the mailroom, would I have rocked up? Like I don't know either, right? So to my earlier point, I've sort of taken it as it comes, just rolled with the punches, and somehow landed here at HashiCorp.
So talk to us about HashiCorp, because that's actually quite, it's a big move actually. And it's one that I think is super impressive that you left VMware recently and went to HashiCorp, which is more of a hyper growth business, sort of earlier stages than obviously the behemoths of HP and VMware. So talk to us about that decision, because it's a big decision as a sales professional when you go to something that's more in that startup hyper growth mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So I started off with HP as a vendor, right? In the server and storage space, probably my real first kind of sales gig. Did a few years, 10 years actually, in distribution, and then landed at VMware. And basically all through that time, that whole, 17 years, wow. Through that 17 years, it'd always been around the data center, private cloud, server storage, virtualization. And basically I got to a point where I thought, there's all this talk about multi-cloud. There's all this talk about, the hyperscalers, the Amazons, the Microsoft, the Googles of the world. What's the next big thing? Because I feel like I kind of missed the boat with the hyperscalers. And then I was thinking, what is the next best thing after that? And, spoke to some industry peers, did a little research, and this whole market or notion of DevSecOps seemed to be the place to be that was making some moves and really at the core of multi-cloud. And so, just decided to make a move. I figured I always wanted to work for a much smaller organization and be a part of that early journey, have the opportunity to, contribute, build, just really be able to look back one day and say, hey, I was a part of that journey. And it's a really exciting time and a really exciting place to be with HashiCorp. And it's a whole different ball game, but I'm learning every day.
And I love that because I think, you know, I know myself when I left IBM and you leave the brand name of IBM behind you, that love it or hate it, you know, it starts a conversation and you go to then a name that perhaps is not quite as well known. It's hard as a sales professional. So I love that you've sort of taken that step to be part of that journey. And I'm going to have to unpack with you a little bit about that later on.
Sure.
Before I go there, I actually just want to finish off our conversation around like early stage into your sales career and so on. Because I know that you mentor a lot of grads or a lot of people who are new into the sales profession. What advice do you give for people who are early stage into the sales profession?
Interesting question. Probably a couple of things to unpack there. But if I think back to the conversations with some of these people that I've spoken to or worked with, I guess, the biggest piece of advice is advising them to just be presentable. Presentable, be well-prepared, respectful of other people's time, whether they're customers or not. And, you know, I was given the advice early days in my career. In fact, you know, someone at HP sort of gave me the advice and said, look, 50% of the job is turning up and looking presentable. You don't have to be, you know, suit and tie, right? Especially these days, but just be, you know, well-dressed, professional, presentable. That's half the job done. The other 25% is being really well prepared about who you're meeting with or, you know, what you're looking to get out of the meeting or what value you can bring to the individual that you're meeting with. And then the other 25% is really just being providing stellar customer service, being really attentive and to the point where you're just really pleasant to deal with. And that goes for, you know, internal customers, i.e. your colleagues or your managers or just anyone, in fact, anyone in life that you deal with, whether they're customers or not, just be really pleasant to deal with. And they become, you know, sort of raving fans of you as an individual. It just stems and grows from there.
Yeah. And when I was at IBM, I had very, very early on, we had some training with a lady who walked in the room and she just looked like a powerhouse. And you couldn't help but look at her because you're like, wow, who is this woman? And she took off like the big chunky bracelet. She took off the big chunky necklace. She took off her suit jacket. And suddenly she just looked, in terms of her image, it wasn't as sharp. She just didn't look quite the same. And she went around the room and said, when you first meet someone for the first time, what do you notice? And some people said, if they bite their nails, I really notice that. And other people said, you know, if they got dirty shoes, I noticed that. And other people said, the half-eaten Bic pen, I noticed that. And it was kind of like, what do you notice? And it just gave a massive level of awareness to your point around actually how you show up and how you are professional and presentable. We all know that as humans, we make judgments and an impression in the first couple seconds. And so how much that counts. So I love that that's one of your pieces of advice for people starting out, because I think it's almost, it's the basics, but it's undervalued.
Yeah. Just keeping it simple, right? I think, you know, technology can be learned. You know, the products and the solution that you're selling, all of that can be, you know, picked up in 30, 60, 90 days, right? With a level of, you know, self-training and research and, you know, everything is available on the internet these days. But yeah, those fundamental skills, I think, were really important. They certainly worked or have been working for me, and I continue those principles today. And yeah, that's what I share with anyone that sort of comes to me and asks for advice.
And I want to build upon that, because that's maybe for people who are just starting out in their career. Big beastie question for you. If you look at, you know, well, I'm not going to go easy on you, Winston. I never would. If you look at, you know, sales in IT is a really competitive game. And if you look at high performance sales, you know, statistically, it's actually under 50% of people who are actually overachieving their target. And obviously, you've been a consistent high performer for your whole entire career. What do you think some of your keys to success are in terms of playing a high performance sales game in what is a super, super competitive industry? What do you think are some of the keys to success?
Ooh, that is a beastie one. Again, if I think about it, what's core to it is just maintaining, I love building relationships as a starting point. I love making it and keeping it personal. And I love working with like-minded people so that it doesn't just become a business transaction. It becomes a long-term strategic relationship. And it could be me providing advice, it could be them providing advice to me. And that's typically how I maintain sort of my customer, partner, friend ecosystem, right? And so in this current world where, you know, to your point, it is very competitive, you know, it's a race to the bottom from a margin perspective, and, you know, everything's available online and information's readily available. It is really a cutthroat environment. And I think what makes the difference comes back to what I mentioned earlier, is about that stellar customer service, and that trumps everything, right? I think, you know, when we think about our personal shopping experience, if something's listed for $100 and you like the product, you know, you'll pay $100 for it as long as you get exactly what you pay for, right? Nothing less. And at times you might get something more, which you're happy and grateful with, but just the fact of getting exactly what you told you were going to get and what you paid for, I think, you know, speaks volumes in terms of just basic 101 customer service and setting expectations. So, I always strive to over deliver. Again, it's that follow up and that follow through process. And I think a lot of my partners, clients, a lot of folks in my ecosystem just continue to stay engaged with me, I think, for those merits, I would like to hope, I think.
Yeah, and I actually want to draw on that, because as an outsider, and obviously I've worked with some of the same clients as you, we've worked in a lot of the same circles. If I had to put up, you know, in my opinion as an outsider, what is Winston's superpower? I think it is that building relationships and that over delivering. And what's been interesting for me is when clients have said to me, I want to do that because I want to do that for Winston, not for HashiCorp, VMware, Avnet, whoever it might have been, but I want to do that for Winston. There's that real personal connection. And what I've also noticed there is sometimes you'll do things strategically to build the relationship that actually aren't in your best interest that day or week, because it might be a long-term gain, but you've done it. So talk to us and expand on that around how, because I think that's really powerful, right? A lot of salespeople are known for just turning up when there's a deal to be had and then buggering off and not doing that. So talk to us about, I would argue in the industry, you probably are the best I've ever seen of building those long-term relationships, over-delivering, doing what you say you're going to do. So talk to us about that.
Where do I start?
We're used to me giving compliments because we're friends as well. So normally I just give him shit.
I don't know what to do with that, but I'll take it for now, Abby. I think it just comes back to, how my journey started, and, you know, a lot of things you sort of picked up early on as well, is I've just, you know, rolled with it, just been a really good human being, had a lot of empathy, and I guess naturally I somehow like problem solving and gravitate towards problem solving. And, you know, I genuinely care about the people that I work with. I genuinely care about the people I deal with and the customers. And I want to make sure that they get a good experience. And it comes back to that raving fans, right? I get very disappointed if someone's not happy with something I said, I did, or delivered. So I don't know. It's just in my DNA to do that. And but again, as I said earlier too, is I like to stay friends, stay in contact with my professional network as well. And, you know, I love the fact that you've met some of our joint our clients, or that we've both worked with independently. And I love to hear the stories when they tell me of when I helped them, when I saved them on a particular deal, I helped them win a particular deal, or even just that experience when we've gone on, you know, vendor rewards trips together and shared an experience. Like, I don't know, for some reason, maybe I'm a little bit odd from that perspective, but that's the stuff that sort of gets me going, gets me out of bed, is how can I engage with someone and give them a fantastic experience and help them along the way as well.
I think there's, again, outsider observation. I think there's also the trust there that, oh, if Winston says he's going to do it, he'll do it. And again, that's basics, but often a lot of people don't stick to their word, or they can't stick to their word because actually there's barriers and red tape preventing them. But as an observation, I think two things that I'd love you to tap into. One is around, I think you play the long-term game. You know, you're not just there for the quick win and the deal and then bugger off. And I think you also are very good at, if you say, like, if you ever say to me you're going to do something, I pretty much know that's going to happen. And I want to flip the question around the other way. What are probably the top common mistakes that you see? And I ask you these questions deliberately because you mentor a lot of people new to sales. So I think it's kind of quite interesting to see some of your observations through doing that. So what are some of the common mistakes that you see?
I guess the obvious ones which most people would see for, I guess, newbies coming to the industry or just starting out a sales career is that, they're always looking for that silver bullet. They're always chasing the big whales. You know, they want to land a 100K deal or $1 million deal, you know, straight out of the bat, and they want to know all your secrets, you know. And sometimes you just can't teach experience. And, you know, we've all had, you know, setbacks in life or those deals that we worked really hard and we didn't get, or just you just can't explain why the customer didn't go with you or the partner didn't go with you or your solution. And so I think there's a few hard knocks that that I typically try to share with individuals. Those are the common ones. It's just that they're always looking for the quick win. It's always the accolades. And I find they typically, you know, some people typically don't get out of bed unless they know they're going to be rewarded for something. So it's almost like a guarantee they're looking for. And as we all know, it, you know, doesn't always go that way.
That's interesting. One of my favorite quotes I read once, which I'm probably going to butcher, is something like, I can show you 100 ways to find one deal, but I can't show you one way to get 100 deals. And that's the concept of the silver bullet. And it's so true. There's no one magic thing that is just going to solve world peace.
Totally right. And, you know, even so many years in the industry and the different companies I work for in different roles, right, I think, you know, there's always an element of always continuing to improve your game. And there is a, you know, there is a notion that there's only so much time in a day, and you got to focus on the bigger returns. And that's probably one of my challenges is, as you probably picked up, I don't like to say no often. And I think there's opportunities everywhere. It's just what you make of it. And so really, you know, these days I'm really focused in on how do I do more with less? How do I focus on the highest impact whilst still maintaining this long-term game and staying connected with industry peers and customers and partners and now alliances, as my role is basically everything and anyone.
Yeah. And I think that's really key, actually, that I read once that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates were both asked, what's your key to success? And they both wrote down focus and they turned over a piece of paper and both had the same answer. And I think as salespeople, and I've struggled with this in my career, still do, is that you get the shiny toy syndrome and you want to run after the shiny toy. So I think sometimes it's hard bringing in that discipline to focus and go, right, you know, where right now has got the highest potential and the highest propensity that I need to stay really, really focused on.
Yeah, definitely agree. And, you know, it depends on the, you know, the company, the solution, you know, and what you're selling, right, has an ultimate impact. I mean, in my previous, you know, roles, it was focused on building, you know, building a brand, driving a volume strategy and getting the word out there. And so, you know, you probably noticed I was quite active on LinkedIn and social media. You know, these days it's less about volume, it's higher value, it's doing, you know, more with less partners. And so, you know, I've sort of dialed back the social media a little bit and I haven't been as active, but focused on just what content is going to be impactful and get cut through, and also hitting the right audience as well, being very targeted and focused.
Yeah. Actually, I want to talk to you about that and talk to you about LinkedIn, because one thing we're noticing at the moment is there's a lot of people who are in sales, particularly in this industry, and they've not necessarily got comfortable with LinkedIn. So they might just do like a share, which we kind of often say is kind of the lazy option when it's just literally share. That's it. No comment, no nothing. And a lot of people, it can feel like putting themselves out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I would actually consider you're very good at doing stuff on LinkedIn and also even just embracing new things to do. And I want you to tell us the story about when you featured your dad and your daughters for a VMware campaign. And then I want to tap into what you have, your experience of LinkedIn and leveraging it.
Yeah. You hit a soft spot, right? So that video with my kids and my dad was, you know, quite special. A number of reasons. One is that, you know, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he actually sadly passed away 5 months after us shooting that video. But I guess the more you know, funny side of things we like to focus on is that he had no idea what I did for a living. In fact, him and mum would tell friends and family that I sold computers and I fixed computers, which was very different to what you know, what we actually did or what I actually did. And you know, I, even after shooting the video, I still think he had no idea what I did and what it was all about. You know, it's become one of those assets that we're going to treasure forever, right? And the funniest part of the most, it wasn't fun at the time, it was quite stressful at the time, but I think I agreed to shooting the video with the VMware marketing team maybe a couple of days beforehand, and it was quite a busy period. And so, you know, I'd almost forgotten, and all of a sudden this film crew rocked up at my doorstep one day, and we sort of came up with a script on the spot, and you know, I had to find all my VMware merchandise and somehow fit it in so it didn't look, you know, ridiculously tacky. And yeah, it was just a great experience looking back at it, you know, making the video, you know, really, really happy with how it turned out. It certainly generated the objectives and the metrics that the marketing team were looking for. So, you know, I was glad I was able to do that. And yeah, just a great memory, probably one of the greatest memories that I have as a result of being able to sort of bring, you know, what I do and the family, you know, and the situation with my dad at the time. So, yeah.
And I think for anyone who hasn't seen the video, it was promoting VMworld, I think.
Yeah, VMworld. I guess it was the sort of the height of the pandemic when everything sort of went virtual. And again, trying to get cut through, how do we get people to attend VMworld when every other vendor was moving to online? And, you know, you're asking for a big chunk of time from people's day, right, to sit in front of the computer. And so, yeah, we got the numbers, we got the results, we got the registrations and attendances. And, yeah, I still have people remind me and ask me about how's the House of Wong, which is great.
But I love it, because what it was personal, it was different. It wasn't just you could have just posted on LinkedIn, come to VMworld, and it would have been the same. But what you did was you know, had a bit of fun. You had a bit of a human side. You personalized it. And we had the video of, you know, you talking about VMworld and then your twins and your dad jumping in. And, like, honestly, I remember it going sort of, like, you know, semi-viral in the IT world, because it was actually being bold and brave enough to actually put yourself out there and your family. I loved the use of your kids to do something a bit different, and it stood out, and that's why it worked. So I really love that you are willing to embrace things like that and try something a bit different.
You got it right. I don't know how many people there are in the IT industry and how many people on LinkedIn, right? And when you're trying to get your message across, or you're trying to make an impact, or you're trying to create, you know, your brand and your presence, you know, LinkedIn's a really powerful tool. I think one of the earlier questions you asked me about as well is, you know, how I've embraced it and used it. And again, it wasn't with intent, but I'll tell you another funny story. Another industry peer that I guess was in a competitive landscape back when I was with VMware, you know, selling hyperconverged infrastructure and vSAN, he was traveling at Sydney Airport on his way to Perth, and you know, someone had reached out to him at Sydney Airport and said, "Hey, Winston," and he goes, "Mate, I'm not Winston." And so that obviously upset him a little bit. And then he landed in Perth for an IT, you know, conference or seminar that they were involved in, and he landed, and the lady in Perth rocked up and said, "Hey, Winston, good to see you back in Perth again." And so I think he got pretty upset at the time, but he actually, you know, he found it quite funny, and I guess it came back to, you know, that presence on social media and building that brand is, you know, that Asian guy that sells hyperconverged infrastructure.
You're now famous, Winston. I'm going to ask for your autograph next time I see you. I didn't realize the level of fame you'd now reach. But I like what you just mentioned before, that you have now on sort of, so you've embraced social, you're prepared to do something different, you're prepared to put yourself out there, but now you're being quite selective around, is this going to add value to the audience? And actually, as sort of an insight from us, that's what we're seeing working now. We adopt the Julie Masters approach. If you've listened to that podcast episode of, you know, it's got to be a keep it or a share it, you know, what you're sharing, someone's got to go, oh, I'm going to keep that somewhere safe because that's really useful, or, oh, I'm going to share that with a colleague because that's really pretty interesting. So I like the fact that you're now changing your LinkedIn approach to be, by the sounds of it, a little bit more selective.
Yeah, very much so. I wouldn't say selective, just you know, I'm just really conscious about, you know, what I put out there. You know, obviously, it's my brand as well as, you know, HashiCorp's brand, and it's a different sort of partner and customer ecosystem that I'm trying to, you know, engage with too, right? So what is of interest to them, what is going to be impactful, and what's going to sort of rise above all the noise.
Yep. And I like that you also, how you're building your personal brand, because I think in sales now it is a personal brand game.
Very much so. I find that you know, as you pointed out, you know, during this session, right, I think most people recognize, you know, Winston as opposed to, you know, Winston at VMware or Winston at Avnet or Winston at HP. It's Winston, and by the way, what's he selling now? What company is he with? So, it's definitely something to embrace and to look after.
Yeah. I actually use you, without saying your name, as examples in sales enablement around the fact that people have followed you, and people will often say, I'll do it because I'll do it for Winston, and how much that personal relationship and that personal brand sort of works.
Yeah, well, now you told me that, I'll have to charge you for it, by the way.
Oh, damn it. Damn. Okay, backtrack. Let's delete that part of the recording. So I've got a couple of quick fire questions for you before I let you run away. The next one I want to talk about is lead generation. So obviously, as you know, it's a topic close to my heart. If you had one day and I said, Winston, I'm going to not accept any of the toys that you're dumping at my house. You've got one day to go produce pipeline, go double down on your pipeline. What would you do? What are your go-to tactics?
Oh, I probably work that now. Definitely something bold. Something bold that's going to get cut through, depending on what, you know, what we're selling, whether it's kids' secondhand toys or, you know, a cloud automation software, whatever it may be, I guess, depending on the audience. But it'd be, yeah, if I had one day, it'd be something bold, something that would capture people's attention to generate the interest and have a really simple call to action, and give yourself the ability to then be able to follow up the next day and qualify. But make sure you qualify hard in each one of those leads and opportunities.
Yep, I love that and couldn't agree more with the sort of standout. It's interesting you talked about the follow-up. It's the number one topic that everyone kind of, we all know we should do it, but we don't do it. And it's the number one thing that people come back to. And I love, again, the qualification, you know, trait of high-performance sales, that ability to qualify. Mm-hmm. Next one for you, if you could give one parting piece of advice to people who are building their career in sales. I know I've gone a lot down the advice path, but it's because you mentor so much. What would your parting piece of advice be? Because we've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah. Find your superpower. And it's simple, but it's hard to do, right? But I think, I do a lot of self-reflection. I think find what you're naturally really good at. And I think when you look around, you'll find that a lot of other people don't do things that you do well as you do. And so, yeah, really work on figuring out what that is and just hone in on it, double down, triple down on it, because you're going to do it with ease. And when you capitalize on it, it's just going to pay tenfold. So focus on your superpower, or find your superpower and then focus on that and drive it hard.
I love that. Really love that. If people want to connect with you, where can we find you and hunt you down? Are we connecting on LinkedIn, or where's best to hunt you down?
Yeah, LinkedIn is... He's the center of everybody's universe, right, in IT or in the professional life. So, yeah, I'm usually pretty responsive there. Or if anyone is any partners or alliances out there looking to build a multi-cloud services practice, reach out to me at winston@hashicorp.com. Be happy to chat about business, personal, or just the general chinwag around the fun and games of the IT industry.
Winston, thank you so, so much. You are one of my favorites in the industry, as I said when I started out, because you do it with ease, you make it look easy. And, you know, just from knowing so many people in the industry and the level of respect that there is out there for you, I had to have you on and try and unpack a few nuggets of that. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
No worries. Awesome. It's been fun. And you probably didn't notice my gray hairs that have been sprouting out left, right and center. Definitely not doing it with ease, but having a lot of fun along the way, that's for sure.
I thought the gray hairs were just having twins.
Oh, there's that too, and a crazy beautiful wife. as well, keeps me on my toes. So it's all of the above. All of the above.
Thanks for joining us, Winston.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, before you leave us, if you would like to download our latest white paper on the state of sales and marketing, which unpacks 4 steps to drive hyper growth in your business, please visit whitepaper.salesredefined.com.au. And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure that you subscribe so that you never miss a future episode. And finally, we would absolutely love it and appreciate it if you could leave us a review and maybe even share with a friend. We'll see you next time.